This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Pork Fest Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This feeds your brain to a tasty and toasty 360 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Is it working? Jim Babb, Diana Keeler, Pork Fest.
Feeling it.
Bobby Barker, we have can lean so off that mic a little bit.
I'm officially
galore.
So you guys know I'm officially dropping the Barker. I am now Davi.
Oh yeah, that's right. You're Davi.
This is one word
pamphleteer.
Nice.
You guys are having so much fun. I'm so envious. You're like, okay, here's what's going on. You guys are like, whenever you see a movie and there's like a cop show or even like a hacker show, there's, you know, there's like the young, sexy, high cheekboned team out in the field getting things done and having adventures. That's you guys. But then you've always got like the nerdy, plump girl with glasses back at headquarters typing in the computer trying to run it all. That's me. And so I'm trying to live vicariously through you guys. And like yesterday, I was trying to get your attention, and I literally wrote everyone an email that said, the subject line was, hey, if you could stop humping and tripping
humping
for a minute.
Tripping.
Humping and tripping. I've got a question. So let's discuss the humping and tripping.
So I'm just glad somebody finally noticed my cheekbones. Thank you.
I mean, I feel like I responded to that email adequately, despite all the humping and tripping I was doing.
You were great.
So, I mean,
yep.
I did too.
And,
Michael,
and some of you haven't even replied yet. You're too busy humping and tripping.
It's Pork Fest. Come on.
It's Pork Fest.
I was hoping for tripping, but that didn't happen.
It's not too late.
I wasn't humping or tripping. I just didn't respond.
Yeah. You know, there was a really good somebody
you're
posted
doggy,
something on Twitter
you don't have to
I really
respond.
Liked. There was like it summed up Pork Fest. The free spirited, like nothing else in the world is like this. It was a picture of Will Coley calling people to prayer and then behind him a bunch of people with hula hoops.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Perfect.
MK, were you one of the hula hoopers?
Yeah, we did that. So Muslims so the big gay dance party really like sucked the whole party up, and so there was no foot traffic at the Muslim
tripping
for
and humping
yesterday, and so we brought all the food, all the lentils and dal down to the big gay dance party.
Nice.
So you had
nice.
Like Muslims for Liberty, free food, all you gay scantily clad lunatics, come on, you weirdos.
Let's... And you were not. So anybody who thinks that Muslims just behead homosexuals, no, sometimes they feed them too.
No, we feed them occasionally.
Yeah.
Before you
I missed that.
It's just like that in Saudi Arabia.
You have to plump them up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, is that Ben Stone, the bad Quaker?
What's that?
Yes, it is.
Hey.
Oh,
well, let's get a chime in here. We got two more remote fiends. We got Ben and Lou. Chime in, guys.
Hey. Diana, I got a text message from Nicole, the official fiend photographer, demanding that you set a time to take the buddy toilet pictures with somebody else. Yeah, somebody in the room sends me a text message.
I know.
Now, is the audience going to know what a buddy toilet picture is?
Explain that. Someone explain that.
He's referring to a photograph that was taken last year of Michael and Lou sitting together on a twin toilet.
His and hers
and,
toilets.
Holding hands. It was really adorable.
I wasn't sure who was training who, but I'm glad it's finally being done.
some of the pictures were smiling, some were sad.
When he wanted to recreate this timeless moment in history,
with girls.
I thought, you know, by now, Rogers is going to have installed the divider between the toilets, right? No.
It's still an open source toilet.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. And to be clear,
defense,
it was not...
Put in that divider would have cost dozens of dollars.
Yeah, and to be clear, it was not one picture, it was about 300 pictures, because there were five or six people in there taking pictures. Nicole's pictures were the best, but and they've surfaced, as much as we've tried to squelch them and forget about them, they've resurfaced every month or so on the social networks. to the point where
because
100 years
it was
I gotta say, it was, I mean, when I said it was adorable, I wasn't kidding. It was such a sweet picture. They're both grinning like little boys. It's so cute.
But you know, it's kind of that lesson of like, be careful what you do for posterity. I really believe that 100 years after my death, with whatever Google search engine exists, when you type in my name, that picture is going to be the only thing that shows that comes up.
Michael Dean, file photo, you know?
Yes.
It's the only thing that won't be flushed down the memory hole.
Yes.
Hey, so they don't have dividers up, and I hear they have shower trucks out there. What are they trying to tell us?
I haven't seen the shower truck.
I saw
they already took people
truck?
Off of the camps.
It's supposed to be really clean and nice. Cost $2.
Okay.
The sign looks
nice. You have to wear armbands.
Ugh.
You have to wear armbands for the shower truck?
Too soon,
oh,
Ben.
Oh, God, Bill.
They sew a star onto your shirt.
Oh, no.
Brian
Sovereign actually tweeted
armbands.
Something about the showers and having been raised a Jew and come from a Jewish background and how it was a little uncomfortable for him to go in there.
Into a shower truck.
Wearing an armband.
As far as we know, everybody's made it out that went in.
Yeah.
So.
It's the libertarian.
Hey, so what time is this picture going to happen?
Showers.
Yeah, and which women are going
to
be in
you're
it?
You're trying to pin somebody down?
I think it should be MK and Diana.
You can't miss the overall Porkfest group photo at 3:30.
Yeah, MK and who?
Well, yeah, because okay. So Michael, didn't you tag? It was like me, you wanted me and Angela to recreate the picture.
Or yeah, I said you and Diana.
I just kind of ignored that. I saw it, but I
don't know. Angela would probably punch me and tell me to check my privilege or something. She awake? Poker. I want to hear what she says.
I don't trip, hump, or dump. Yeah, are we clear on that? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just contemplating how far in my career I've dropped that because, you know, that this is that the show runs antiwar.com ads that I've got to talk about dueling defecation.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the I've made a series of bad choices in life, and I think this is the I've dropped right here. My God!
Well, hey, next
it's really not that bad, is it, Angela? Seriously,
aren't you opening up for Glenn Beck next week?
You hit rock bottom. You become a fiend's host.
No.
This is like the final stop. Of my life. Come on.
This is the final stop. Thank you. This is the final stop for Angela before next week, because next week she's opening up for Glenn Beck and Marco Rubio at the Fascist Fest.
And not only that, I hear
what? Angela?
I hear.
That's not untrue. I mean, that's what you said is not technically libelous, so I can't really do anything about it. Yeah, that's true. I'm going to be an opening act.
Another way
of
saying not
so
untrue.
So you really can't say the fiends are the low point of your life when that's your high point next week.
Yeah, it's a sad. Yeah, no, it's just this is sad here.
This is kind of like, you know, when drug addicts hit bottom, but they haven't really hit bottom. This is the fiends, you know, and they go like, how much lower could I go? And then next week they're selling their fillings on eBay or something. They're aluminum fillings. That's next week for you.
Okay.
Is it true that Corey Feldman will be filling in for Angela while she's gone?
Yes.
Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman's not the dead one? He's not the dead Corey?
No, that was Corey Haim.
Which Corey is the dead Corey?
Apparently this
I made Angela giggle.
I don't know what that is.
Replaced by the dead Corey. That's it just keeps getting worse. It's like the bottom can't drop out of the layers of humiliation and hell.
Yeah. It is a teaching hospice.
I love that. I think we should keep saying that, teaching hospice.
Yes.
So what's everybody's favorite Porkfest event from yesterday?
Oh.
Any takers?
Yeah, from yesterday?
Bueller.
Humping and screwing and tattooing.
Actually, I actually went to two talks yesterday. I went to Lynn Albrecht. Her talk. And also went to the Liberty and Religion talk. The panel that Randy
who won?
Who won?
circumcision.
Oh my goodness! It was actually really it was really good because they had a it went on for the whole 50 minutes, I guess, and then but there were a lot of people that had questions and everything, and so it was continued at the what the Liberté Ecclesia, I guess the Christian church kind of thing, a Q&A session, and it got interesting. I mean, there were a lot of questions that came up about circumcision and whether that was you know, violating the NAP and all this other stuff. So it was good.
Consent first, right?
Right. Yeah. Apparently, yeah. But it, yeah. So it was good.
Well, my highlight was the big gay dance party, and I won Miss Porky Pole, or I guess it was Miss Hot Box, because someone stole the stripper pole. So that was unfortunate. Again,
damn.
Ah, you why? I did. It was Miss Hot Box.
Was that Bill Beeper?
So
that was awesome.
You know what?
I knew shaking my butt would pay off.
Congratulations, but also, as we know from the past, even though he wasn't there this year, Cantwell's going to resent you for years for that because he wanted to win.
Well, he should compete by correspondence. He should have like sent in a YouTube video of him strip pulling.
Well, you know, he inspired the Bipcot poster idea. You know, him taking over the place last year without being there with posters. He steals my jokes. I steal his jokes. Are there still Bipcot flyers up there?
There are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. I built that.
I went to the Mark Edge roast.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think Brett Vinat and Daryl Perry really stole the show.
Yeah, they definitely
did.
Pretty
funny.
Yeah.
Hey, I did something fun. I went with Dorothy to the shooting range with Randy England.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, that was great fun. Some super fiend fun. But the Lynn Albrecht talk was great. She's a wonderful woman.
Yeah.
Nice.
Meow.
And we've got Derek J.
This is Derek J.
Warren Canary.
My favorite was the big gay dance party, the lights, all the naked boys. I was naked there myself in just a thongs-type Speedo. And
Were you humping and tripping?
Speedo.
Yes, sir.
Pictures or didn't happen.
Cool. Yeah, pics or didn't happen.
Oh, there are plenty of pics. There are some pics already online that have surfaced from the big gay dance party. Actually,
are they
I'm
Virgil
a little bit
Verdugo?
I shouldn't tell people.
The Big Gay Dance Party is probably one of the most documented events at Porkfest.
Unfortunately.
I want to know who fed all those scantily clad
people. We didn't feed all of them. We fed maybe 500 of them.
Yeah, the Muslims for Liberty brought food down there.
That was the goal anyway. Yeah. I don't know how it actually parsed out. Our goal was 500 meals, rice and dal. And, who turns down free food?
Meow.
Let's talk about Lynn Albrecht when we get back.
We'll be back.
What she said.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is the Freedom Fiends, and we'll have more after this trip to the market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, "You didn't build that"? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Woof woof.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and we're back talking about Lynn Albrecht.
Yeah.
So who actually went to the Lynn Albrecht talk?
I did.
Could you guys like give us a summary?
Well, what the best part was, Lynn read a letter from.
Oh
Ross.
Yeah!
Wait! Stop!
Letter up on.
Stop!
Huh?
Stop! You're burying the lead. People in the radio audience have no idea who Lynn Albrecht is.
Okay, Lynn Albrecht is the mother of Ross Albrecht, who is a man who was convicted of 7 felonies in relation to building and operating the Silk Road website, which is an anonymous online marketplace.
And for drugs and weapons and fun.
Some people use it for drugs. And some of the charges that Ross faced were in relation to selling drugs, but it was just because he ran the website. And so it's a really dangerous precedent, because it's like, can the website owner get in trouble for what website users right. do? I mean, how much can you control what your users do? And what sort of chilling effect does that have mm-hmm. on all websites? So this is really important. This guy's in jail. He was sentenced to life without parole, which is worse than a lot of murderers get. And anyway, his mother is here at Porkfest and gave a speech yesterday, and that's what we all saw.
What a courageous woman she is. Yeah. I mean, I'm just blown away by her. And what really struck me about it was that, you know, Ross is this, you know, really young guy. And I'm thinking about my own daughter who's 23 and, you know, she's a law abiding citizen or whatever, you know, but I mean, you know, what did he really do to break the law? You know, nothing really. And she could basically, you know, be doing something that, you know, the powers that be don't like, and she could be thrown in a cage. You know, it could happen to anyone. That's the thing that like really struck me. You know, and as a mother, oh my God, like, I don't know how she's not constantly in tears when she's up there talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, it just,
incredible.
Yeah, it really, really was.
I mean, in fact, I mean, what Ross did was amazing, right? He created this incredible free market website that did millions and millions of dollars of business, helped so many people. He's incredible, but I've never met him. His mom is super incredible.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Like, she's the one that, like, when I first heard about the Ross case, I'm like, yeah, I'd like to support that. That's interesting, you know. But it wasn't until I met her, I'm like, oh, I gotta do something. I gotta get on this campaign.
And she totally
help.
Gets the big picture of
yeah.
it, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not
yeah.
just a, like, free Ross. It's a free the internet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, she's really, I mean, it would be very easy for her to not do these kind of events. I'm sure
right.
it's emotionally taxing. It's financially expensive when she's already been completely depleted and wiped out financially by the legal expenses, but she is so determined, she's so charismatic, she's so persuasive. I mean, ultimately, she, you know, when Ross gets out, for whatever reason it's going to be because of her.
Break him out.
Whether it's a jailbreak inspired by her or I don't know what it's going to be, or
yeah.
you know, if we have to just repeal every single law that's holding him in a cage, so be it. But
nullify.
But she is a very courageous woman, and for listeners who may want to know more about her, I'm glad someone finally did write specifically about her. There's this really good article called "Dread Pirate Roberts Has a Mother and She'll Never mm-hmm. Stop Fighting,"
mm-hmm.
and it's so good because it really is a good profile of Lynn and anyone who's ever met her. She came here last year too. She's just so full of life and energy despite everything that she's being put through right now, and it really is amazing. And
she's precious.
I'm glad, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, humble is another word that comes to mind too. Like, well, just so well spoken, and like must just has such like a pure spirit about her.
She was at Porkfest last year and spoke, and at the end got a round of applause for saying that Ross would be planning to attend Porkfest next year,
yeah,
right? So,
yeah.
You know, we were fighting really hard at the trial. I know some folks were there handing out information about jury nullification, mm-hmm. and some people were. Promoting the message.
You were there, Derek, right?
Inside the
yeah, you were there, right?
Was that Michael?
Yeah, talk about.
You were there, right?
Yeah, Derek? I was there in Manhattan.
Don't be humble. Just say it. It's news, man.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Talk
yeah,
about
Jim,
it.
Jim was there.
Yeah. Y'all both talk about it.
Yeah. It was fortunate enough that, you know, just going with some big signs with a lot of Jim's help. Actually, you designed the signs that I ended up printing out, Jim. So thanks for doing that. Made it to RT and The Guardian and a bunch of international news outlets just for being out in front of the courthouse, telling people this guy's getting 30 years to life for a website. And that's exactly what ended up happening.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a lot of support on the outside, but the judge actually threatened jury,
yeah.
Said that they would have to be sequestered and kept from the outside world because of these dangerous people handing out information in front of the courthouse.
So dangerous.
Like
Derek is really scary.
This is the Freedom Fiends. We'll be back after this break.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Ah!
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Welcome back, guys. This is the Freedom Fiends.
Is that how a mud skipper sounds?
Live from Porkfest 12.
Yeah. Porkfest the 12th.
Porkfest the 12th. Yeah. 2015.
There's a masquerade ball tonight.
Yes, that's like cool.
There's two dances, actually. They're competing. I didn't even know this.
And it's a dance-off.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. There's an unce party, as in unce, and then there's a masquerade ball for people who don't unce.
And I brought costumes for both because I didn't think they were overlapping. And then I saw they were overlapping. I was like, I still kind of want to go to both.
Yeah, it's hard to
do like a quick wardrobe change.
You know what else there is tonight is the artsy fartsy.
Ew. Yeah.
You know what that is, artsy fartsy? Why are you doing, Derek? I'm performing.
Oh, okay, great.
Hey, MK. Huh? MK could hide her clothes in the
is
woods.
This your famous pantomime
like a kid
show?
Skipping
no, this
school.
Is a previously unreleased Jim Morrison song.
Michael, what did you ask MK?
I said she could hide her change of clothes in the woods like a kid who's skipping school and going out to sneaking out to do something.
Yeah, hiding clothes in the woods. I don't know, not here.
I don't know, better to be slightly overdressed than slightly underdressed.
So just go to the
depends on the party.
Yeah. How could you possibly have been underdressed?
Well, I won't be for the masquerade ball. I've got like a three-piece suit. Ooh. You know, I'm going to wear a vest and everything. Gonna
nice.
Going to be very sexy.
Spiffy. For
the, and then, you know, just jump over to the unce party. I guess you could just take it off. And then it'll...
Yeah.
You've got both costumes.
You wear your Speedo underneath the
just
suit.
Just the vest.
Just the vest. Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Hey, I got to meet Bernard von Nothaus. Have you guys got a chance Woo! To hang out
I
with
have.
Bernard?
Yes, yes.
Got a picture with him.
Nice.
Awesome. He spoke. Did anybody attend his talk?
Yeah.
What was it about?
Yeah, he explains for folks like how the government ended up prosecuting him. So for folks who don't know, Bernard von Nothaus is the creator of the Liberty Dollar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And these were really popular. I mean, were they even around in the 90s? Yeah, so...
Why are you looking at me?
Because I thought someone here might have bought them in the 90s. One of the people who went up to speak said that he bought them when he was a teenager. He was like 13 years old or something, and he wanted to go thank Bernard himself. Aww. You know, now that he's, I guess, in his late 20s, saying how valuable these things were to him, both monetarily and as a lesson in like
the
government, printing money and value for value exchanges. So Bernard had some good news for everyone, even though the government did steal and confiscate all the silver in those vaults. About 90% of his customers held physical silver themselves. So of the money that the Liberty Dollar lost, most of the customers got to retain about 90%. Nice. And the other 10% were in these paper notes that you could redeem for silver. And that's what the government took.
But we recently, I have some of those paper notes, which they're like collector's
just took
items.
Paper.
There was actually a chance to like, here, you can fill in this form and mail a letter in and maybe they'll give it back to you.
So, nice. How nice
I said, what
is
the
that?
Hell?
I'm still waiting.
You know, go ahead and give it back to me.
Yeah. Bernard asked for a show of hands. Like who filed a paper to ask for your property back? And like three suckers raised their hands.
Man.
Yeah. Keep waiting for the government to give you what you asked for. Don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
Actually, hundreds of people did send those in, and I got a letter back from the prosecutor, Department of Justice, and they're like explaining why it's going to be so hard for them to return all the stolen property
because they sold it.
No, because never.
Right?
They say, we've never had this many like petitions to get back the property before. Wow. We don't know. We're going to have to create a whole new bureaucracy just to figure out whose stolen property we have.
We need an agency.
The Department of Returning Stolen Property.
All you've really done is added yourself to a list.
Yeah, right.
I'm already on the list. So, you know, get to the top of the list if you're on it.
The Department of Returning Stolen Goods and Enjoining Goods. Enjoying good.
Hey, the other thing that Bernard explained that was helpful was, like, what actually is the crime that you were prosecuted under? Because it's not a crime to mint silver and sell it and everything, right? And
Depends on how you interpret the arcane language of some old law that wasn't meant to cover this situation.
Well, some people said it was counterfeiting, you know, because it's called a dollar, you know, and that people might be fooled and use
a dollar
dollars.
Is a unit of measure, nothing more.
We should really get on Canada about that, because they use the word dollar, too.
Well, yeah.
So does Chuck E. Cheese. Don't does Chuck
Mickey Mouse, there's a Mickey Mouse dollar, right?
Yeah.
He said I think there's Disney dollars or
Disney
something.
Dollars, sure.
Yeah. The way they actually prosecuted him was not about counterfeiting, but it was about competition. There's apparently some unknown law that the government dug up to say, you're not allowed to compete with the government in this providing currency to
but
the people
thing. But
they're
not providing a silver currency, so it's sort of a completely different product.
But they did exactly what you said. They dug up some arcane law and interpreted it for
the
benefit.
There is a counterfeiting element to it. They were saying, like, look, people are going to get confused. You're making this 1 ounce silver coin. He won't use the word coin because that's a legal term, but I'll use it. I don't care. It is a coin. It's a 1 ounce solid silver coin, and it has a face of somebody on it. And then they say, well, you know, somebody might get confused and think that's a quarter. Right, like,
yeah, because like, that's just what I want.
You know, like,
I
want
to trade an ounce of silver for a piece of bubble gum. That's what I would.
You might be tricking somebody, and they called it similitude. There's some similitude to a quarter, and we know how
Isn't
dumb
that, like,
people are.
Isn't the name
are,
of a formula?
So, therefore,
baby formula?
Possible life in jail for you.
Seems to me similitude and satire should be considered the same thing. I mean,
right.
No, but what a personable guy. You know, I was so starstruck when I met him. He was coming up here to the LRN.FM media room where we're broadcasting now. And he just, you know, introduced himself. Oh, hi, I'm Bernard. I'm like, yes, Von Nordhaus. Like, so good to meet you. Yeah, like, I'm what is it called? Genuflecting.
We're not worthy. We're not worthy. Yeah.
And, you know, he was just so casual and cool. It's like, everyone here at Porkfest, all these speakers are, you know, so grounded and such heroes. I mean, he really changed the world with what he did.
It's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. I think when you are that heroic and that successful, there's no need to put on airs or be, you know, pretentious. People know who he is and what he did.
Yeah, he's just enjoying life, but it must be especially unusual for him because he's been facing sentencing for a long time. Like, he's been sentenced, right? But he was waiting. He could have faced lifetime in jail. So he's been hiding out, I think, in Hawaii for a while, and then the government, they just were delaying and not giving him his sentence. Finally, he got it. What is it, all suspended or something? Because he's free now.
Well, I think he waited like 4 or 5 years to be sentenced after being convicted and knowing he could die in jail. And he ended up getting 6 months of home detention and some maybe 3 years of probation, something like that.
Wow.
Well, imagine being that guy. Like, you're in life in prison. You're like hanging out with the other inmates. Like, what are you in for? And you're like, similitude.
They got me on similitude.
And then down the block is, you know, oh hi, my name's Ross. I built a website.
Web design.
You know, eventually we're all going to have to end up in the same cell block somewhere.
I sure hope so.
I was actually thinking about this, like, you know, the how Ross's mom has become this, like, unstoppable voice for Ross now that Ross is in prison. I wonder if any of the fiends went to prison for something as ridiculous, if we'd end up with, like, 15 or 18, you know, kind of similar voices out there, because I got nothing better to do. I got a lot of time on my hands. We all have media contacts.
I would hope that my
fiends
would back me up.
Yeah.
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 Free MK Lords. We should do the art ahead of time so we're ready.
Dobby, for each one.
Dobby should make
everyone
a set
take their best selfie and turn it into a poster.
Make a set of
like a bad one out there.
Like a good hula hoop picture of that.
Set it up kind of like class photos, right? Where you're like you set up a little booth with a camera. And you're like, yeah, we're taking political prisoner photos just in case any of us ever get locked up.
You want to look your best if you're going to be a political prisoner.
Because if you don't have one set up ahead of time, they're going to use your mugshot.
No, they're going to use the shot of me. No, they're going to use the shot of me on the toilet.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Oh my God.
File photo.
We don't all have those yet.
Well, you will by this afternoon.
We still have to recreate those.
Yeah. That's why you have to go all take that picture today.
Yeah.
I feel like this should be Photoshopped, though. Like, I don't know.
No, except if you really want
to find the toilets.
Some singular moments in history that cannot be repeated, nor should they be.
No, but if you really want to do the nutty photo, the nutty photo they use on CNN, you should be sitting on the toilet pointing a gun at the camera. Make sure it's empty.
Can't well already do that one? I don't know.
Oh, my.
No, someone photoshopped him doing that.
What could go wrong? You can't sit on the same toilet twice. Is that what we're trying to say?
Yeah.
I have that saying stuck in my head. You know that saying, you can't step in the same river twice?
Yeah.
It's kind of true and it's kind of not true. I don't know. But, like, it definitely seems like Porkfest is different every year. Like, they're not the same.
Yeah.
You know, but they're all great.
This year seemed more mellow than usual.
Totally mellow.
But, yeah, like, in a really good way.
Yeah, like in a
really
life-changing,
relaxing,
kind of uplifting way.
Yeah, yeah. Really been enjoying it, and I thought there was going to be more people because I got here on Sunday and there were a lot more people here at the very beginning of the week, and I thought it'd be busier by now, but it seems like it hasn't, you know, I don't know, maybe about as many people as last year.
I wonder if it's just like a product of the drugs that are flowing through the park.
They're just all in the big tent,
humping and tripping. You don't see them.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe, what is Porkfest for?
I think
for?
I have a theory because you notice the plumbing is still working, which is kind of new for Porkfest this year.
Yes.
What if Crosby made a deal to, like, say, look, we'll fix your plumbing, but we're just going to put this lithium in the water a little bit.
Right? Mellow everyone out.
Think he would make that deal? I don't know.
Well, then there's the weaponized ticks
this year.
What's
this,
up
right?
with that? Like, I've camped 2 years in a row, and I get a hotel this time, and, like, ticks are just freaking on it. Like, I don't know. It's freaking me out.
Because you're soft. They sense that.
It's soft. I'm too soft.
Pollen is really bad, too. Is the pollen really bad?
No.
What was the question?
No, I heard the pollen was really bad in
New England because of the late winter, late thaw or something.
Rain was bad at first. Yeah. But now it's been sunny for a few days.
Yeah, Christian and I brought the sun with us.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, I got a really quick shout out here. There's a new documentary out from Vice where they go hang out with ISIS. You know, it's like, what do you do after you sneak into North Korea twice? Where do you go from there? So American conservatives should love this movie because Vice, I mean, ISIS send people around to, like, stop people from sinning and, like, threaten them. I think American conservatives would really get behind that.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
He's too busy talking to do a talk radio show. We all get, you know, one morning and then it's to the scaffolds with you.
Oh, I still have a crown on. Good. Nice. My tiara.
It's a nice
Maria
nice
tiara. Princess Diana.
Groovy.
Goddess.
You know what Princess Diana and Pink Floyd have in common?
What?
Do you know it, MK? Huh? Their careers both ended with the wall.
That's really awful. But funny.
Too soon?
I like the muffin joke that was told last night.
Joke.
Tell the muffin
the
joke.
The muffin joke.
It's just so stupid. It's hilarious.
I'm not sure that it's radio friendly. I suppose it can be made radio friendly.
Two muffins in an oven?
How two muffins are in an oven, and one muffin says to the other muffin,
it's a joke.
Man, it's so hot in here. And the other muffin says, oh my God, a talking muffin.
Hey, guys, we have a special fiend celebrity with us here today.
Oh. Yeah.
The inventor of Fiend Phone, the guy that made it actually work, willed it into reality, Derek Sloopy.
Woo!
Co-inventor. Michael's concert.
Go, Derek. Hey. Go, Derek.
I was just the hamster.
Get up on the mic, son. Get up on the mic, son.
I was just a hamster in the basement.
Hamster in the basement. Being driven by the iron.
So why don't you spell it out for the listener? What is Fiend Phone?
Fiend Phone is it's a way to get a cheap way to link radio hosts together so that the audio is clear and you can do it with cheap equipment. With a laptop, download Fiend Phone. It's free software and link radio hosts in very far apart locations.
So what's wrong with like Skype? Or Google Hangout.
Skype has
or
a lot of audio correction, and quite often people find that the two people can't talk at the same time.
So you're against correction?
I think correction should be voluntary.
We don't need to be corrected.
Right, yeah. It's not voluntary with Skype.
Right.
So when two people are talking, it'll cut the other person off, and Fiend Phone is full duplex, which solves that problem.
Skype is the ISIS of voice over internet protocol.
What?
What does that mean?
It means they enforce things with an iron claw.
We're still debating.
But I feel so spoiled by Fiend Phone, though, because the sound quality is so good and so much better than Skype and stuff. Yeah. Like, I don't want to use anything else.
Thank
Fiend
you,
Phone.
I just ordered one of those $130 Windows 8 tablets. I can't wait. I think Fiend Phone will work on it, too. The Winbook TW802 tablets. Have you seen these? It's like full Windows.
Not.
It's full Windows on a tablet with 2 gigs of RAM, and apparently they run pretty well on Windows 8.1. I think Fiend Phone will work on it. We're kind of having a contest to see who can get the cheapest software that you can do a radio show over. The cheapest hardware, I mean.
Cheapest
Fiend
hardware.
Phone.
Raspberry Pi.
Gotta wait for Windows 10 to come out.
Is that going
to
be available?
Yeah, we're working on that. There's a version of Windows 10 that was released for free for the Raspberry Pi, but it's not quite there yet. We're probably going to wait till the second iteration of that operating system before we dedicate any resources to it.
Cool. I want my Agent Fiend wristwatch. That's what I want.
It's coming.
I'm going to be come in, Michael Dean. Come in, Michael Dean.
Yeah, I hear Derek's going to do some more work on Fiend Phone right after Porkfest, too.
Yeah, I don't know what. Everything's been about Porkfest the last few months. So,
so what else have you done? Talk about your. You haven't done an interview yet about the big iron, and we don't mean mainframes that you brought to Porkfest. What's the big iron you brought?
Yeah, I'm in collaboration with Bitcoin Not Bombs and Roberts and Roberts and Freedom's Phoenix. We brought a big. We brought two big machines, two pieces of heavy hardware. We converted a vending machine, like an 80s vending machine, to take Bitcoin, replaced all the hardware, put a PC in it, and it's running a full Bitcoin node. And it's been pretty popular. There's been less sales than interest.
Yeah.
Davi did the artwork. The artwork's fantastic.
Sell all the things.
All the things for all the money. Yeah.
You can buy bullets in there. You can buy nitrous tanks. Are those nitrous tanks?
You can buy a home test or whatever.
Yeah. Somebody bought a home marijuana test this morning. Yeah. I think.
What are those little tanks? Oxygen?
On Monday.
Is there a pregnancy test?
I heard you mention those tanks before, but they might have been ponchos, Michael.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. Nod, nod, wink, wink. No, they're oxygen.
How does a home THC test work? It's like, oh, I think I'm stoned. I better take the test. How does that
work? That's precisely the market they're looking for. We'll be back in after hour number two after this.
Yeah. Where did you guys ship those from? Where did Derek, where did you ship those boxes from?
You have to buy.
Oh, yeah.
tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
This is the Freedom Fiend, secreting seditious sounds from the flaccid fiend bone of freedom. We give you a crypto chiropractic crack to align your rotator cuffs against the roving wiretaps of tyranny. This is a reminder that this show is brought to you by or licensed by the BIPCOT No Government License, which means you're free to reuse and reuse it as long as you don't work for the government. Get more information at BIPCOT.org.
Sorry, Nancy Pelosi, you can't use this.
Not allowed.
You know, I think this show is
an atrophied fiend bone.
We had nine.
Leaking atrophied
fiend bone. All right. I'm trying to get through the 7-second delay to get to you guys. I think this show is a record. We had 9 fiend co-hosts on here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Is that counting Derek Slopey, who also counts, you know?
Who needs
a wrestling name?
He does have a wrestling name.
Doesn't he have one?
I think he does have a wrestling name.
Okay. It's too bad he's not here to verify.
Doesn't he?
Seems he's left. Taken off.
He left?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's out there talking to Christian.
It's the middle of the day, and there's lots of stuff going on, and it's nice, and it's beautiful, and you can see the
toilet picture. It didn't happen.
You and your toilet pictures.
No, you and just your toilet pictures.
No, no. Those are private.
I want to see them.
You probably wouldn't share those, Michael.
I do not consent.
Just don't give them to a demo.
Yo!
We should do a Roast the Liberty Movement Freedom Fiends episode.
Oh, yeah.
Like everybody on the table, you know? That would be fun.
No sacred libertarians. Nothing sacred.
I don't like being mean, though. That's like I could be.
I have a hard time. I don't like being mean to people I like. You know.
I don't like everybody in the Liberty movement.
I don't either.
Do you like all the Freedom Fiends, though?
Yeah, I like all the Freedom Fiends for sure.
I'm okay with all the fiends. They're all right.
Fiends
by
are
me.
Just all right with me.
Like Jesus.
Yes.
Like Jesus.
Well, you need to have some non-lethal material for the people you'd like that still deserve some good ribbon.
Yeah, a nice sort of symbolic gesture roasting for the people that you like.
And what about actual funny people in the libertarian movement? Where do we find those?
Funny people? Yeah, let me know if you find
funny people.
Geez.
What do you mean?
Last night,
it's not funny.
Well, that comic atrocity for Mark Edge, that shameful embarrassment. That at which point I thought about throwing chairs. I just
we should roast the roasters. Who was on the roasting? So there was that Russian girl. I don't have any.
All the roasters were roasted.
I have no idea who that woman was.
It was the worst of comedy I'd ever seen.
Julia Taranosky.
Julia Taranosky. That sounds like a communist name to me.
She's the brave of the world. Well, she is Russian.
I don't think she's a commie. Julia Taranosky.
No, absolutely not.
She's a nice gal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I met her at the table.
I thought she was funny.
So get this. This is a real I can't say this word. This is a real celebritarian move, okay? She comes up to my table, and she's interested in my stuff, and I have no idea who she is, and so I introduce myself, and she doesn't introduce herself. Like, she assumed that I just knew who she was.
What?
Wow.
Okay.
Like, I'm Davi Barker. Nice to meet you. And she says, that's very nice.
She really said that? That's very nice.
I don't remember exactly what she said, but it definitely got the vibe that, like, she thought I was introducing myself like a fan that already knew who she was. I had no clue who she was. I'm just nice to customers, that's all.
I have a really good...
Maybe it's just a cultural difference thing.
Russians don't introduce themselves.
Well, because she's also Canadian. She lives in Canada
now. Yeah, she's lived there for how long?
Well, then I demand an apology.
I have a really good rock star. I have a good rock star story that I think needs to be emulated in Liberty more. So, about 20 years ago, my friend who was a heroin addict said one night after a heroin dealer. We're all heroin addicts. He was a heroin dealer. He said that after Nick Cave played at somewhere in San Francisco, about 4 in the morning, my friend's doorbell rings. He opens it up. It's Nick Cave standing there. There's a taxi behind him on the street, and he goes, "I'm Nick Cave. Give me some heroin." And the guy gave him... and my friend gave him some heroin, and Nick just got in the taxi and split.
Wow.
So Brett Vinat was next on the panel. I don't know how much I want to roast Brett because he's a fiend.
But, no, I'm just going to say, that's an actual good story, what Michael just told.
Yeah,
it involved
for sure.
an actual celebrity. It didn't involve John Stossel. That's the difference between, let's say, fiends
can I,
and fiend libertarians.
Can I admit something to all of you right now? I thought Walter Block and John Stossel were the same person.
There's a lot of microaggressive racism going on this show that I do not approve.
Was John Stossel there?
No. But I mean, you know, just like it's John Stossel is representative of the thing that's most vanilla. I mean, he's beloved figure.
Isn't he opening
beloved,
for you next week?
Okay, you know what? Okay, look, yeah, I did sell myself to a right wing freak carnival, but you know, we all
did
do different things. We all do different things because we need to.
If you're going to sell out, sell high.
Last night, though, that was just,
no,
that was a comic
this.
Atrocity.
Yeah.
That was just,
horror
show.
I thought Brett was really good, actually. I liked it. Although, I generally don't like Jewish jokes.
Brett was by far the funniest, but I mean, we were setting the standard, though, as being Adam Kokesh, my neighbor.
Yeah, Adam
I need
Kokesh.
To talk about this. Adam, I need you to step down from comedy before you...
We need to have a comedy intervention.
Yeah, it's not good. It's
you
not,
need to stop bursting okay. down, and you're like, look, this is all out of love and respect. This is what funny looks like.
Yeah, no, okay. I kind of feel like we need like an all-day training, and then we tell him to not speak. Just keep the shirt off.
Yeah, we got it. Okay, see...
Shut up.
Angela is being humble. Angela is a rock star. I'm going to read who are the speakers with Angela at the Freedom Fest next week. Okay. Glenn Beck.
How did this become a roast of Angela?
Oh, my God.
Doug Casey. Dinesh D'Souza. Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine.
Dinesh D'Souza.
Nick Gillespie.
Wow.
Angela Keaton. Kennedy, the former MTV lady.
Kennedy
from MTV, cool.
Yeah, Kennedy's
the
opening
the
for Angela.
DJ?
Paul,
the VJ?
Paul Krugman.
Yeah, the VJ.
Hang on, guys. Paul Krugman.
Yeah, I'm on the bill with Paul Krugman. Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Grover Norquist. Grover Norquist. Marco Rubio. Peter Schiff. John Stossel. Peter Thiel. Jeffrey Tucker. Matt Welch. Alan West. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Perennial presidential black Republican
Colonel
who looks
Alan
like
West.
He's the black Dilbert. He looks like Dilbert.
Black Dilbert.
And that's the lineup right there.
Now that you revealed the heart,
is she blushing?
The truth. No,
oh,
no, I'm just horrified.
Bob Barr.
If there's
wait,
anyone,
Bob Barr.
Oh,
Bob Barr.
Bob Barr.
Bar Bob.
Max
Bar
Borders.
Bob. But Angela's going to be doing something pretty important there. What are you going to be doing at the Fascist Fest?
Dancing topless?
Getting on my knees and praying for redemption that I hope I don't die at that moment so my soul doesn't go straight into some kind of right-wing hell or the National Review staff or something. I'm going to end up on the Weekly Standard cruise or something as the entertainment
ball. Oh, no.
Hey, you know, if there's anyone, by the way, in the listening audience in Porkfest, I desperately need a ride to Boston tomorrow afternoon because I got to get the hell out of New Hampshire. I've been with libertarians for a week solid, and I'm about to have like a nervous
looks
breakdown.
Looks like you already got someone in the audience.
Oh, you do? Excellent.
Hey, Derek.
Oh, total. Excellent.
Hey, well,
and,
Carla Garrick is speaking at this thing. You can get a ride with her. Is
what
Angela
do you
blushing?
Think of Warren Rumpler at the roast?
Ugh.
Objectivist girl.
You mean all the stereotypical? They have to pick the one Lisa Lampanelli character in every roast. So you do all the same sex jokes that are so very original. Like I could have told those jokes in my sleep.
Yeah.
They were funny at Grossinger's, like in 1951.
Oh, man.
They should have just had you do the roast, Angela.
That would have been like, so
kick
good.
Kick everyone off that would have been and just so let good. Angela do it.
Well, I remember the Mulineau roast. At the Mulineau roast, Bob Murphy was the star. If you guys remember the Mulineau roast,
I didn't see it.
It went on for like 4 or 5 hours. But if you boiled it down to the best 30 minutes, it was hilarious. And largely thanks to Bob Murphy, who rose to the occasion and was really, really nailing really nailed Mulineau hard. So Bob Murphy, you didn't come to Porkfest this year. Please come back next year.
Well, you guys aren't that far from the Borscht Belt in Catskills. Right there.
The what now?
The Borscht Belt, which has been over for like since the 80s.
Since the 70s.
What the heck is that?
I have no idea what this is.
Don't post. I think we're dropping the lead. What's the Borscht Belt?
It's a range.
It's like a sausage, isn't it?
Well, it's referring to there is both Jewish places comedians. Like the Grossingers and Pines, right? Where mostly Jewish comedians where got Jewish their comedians start and stand either, up in either upstate got New York their start outside the city,
or went to die. It was like on the way up or the way down, you went to the Borscht Belt.
Yeah. Okay. Groovy. Why is this significant? I must be missing something.
Because you're not far away from it, and Lisa Lampanelli. Look like
I'm not far away from a lot of
things.
You're far away from comedy. That's what's going on here. Okay? You're far away from the you know, it's you've made my fiend bone flaccid.
You know what,
oh, no, not again.
I don't know.
No
man.
One likes a flaccid fiend bone.
No.
I think Bob Barr's pretty funny.
Engorgement right away. So I don't get roasts. Like I've only seen a few. There's one last night. I've seen a few like celebrity roasts. It doesn't seem like they actually roast the person who's on the hot seat. Like, isn't that the whole point?
Yeah, they do.
No, there were only like 3 jokes told about Mark last night.
I guess are there only 3 jokes you can make about Mark?
I'm not sure I could say them on the air. I could sort of paraphrase them on the air. Mark murdered a guy. Mark apparently has carnal knowledge of pigs. And he swore once. That's the best they could come up with.
You know, the second one is somehow more shocking to me than the first one.
Well, that's because it's not true, is the thing. It's just a joke.
Okay.
He also
Mark didn't
murder
a guy either.
He was just convicted of murdering a guy.
He was in the room.
Like an accomplice or something. I don't know.
He was an accomplice. He was in the room. He had something to do with it. And he hid the guy afterwards or something. But yeah, he didn't do it. He went to jail for murder. But you don't have to murder
to go to jail for murder.
But
it's not like he ran a website or anything.
No. Yeah, that's right. God forbid.
It's not like he's guilty of similitude.
Put it this way. What he did was far more an actual crime than what Ross Ulbricht did.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, like, he knows that. And he, it's not like
something
he carries
razzing.
Around and tries to defend.
No.
But that's the point. Like, that's all you got. It's all the dirt they got on Mark. Are you seriously? Like, come on.
Yeah, there's got to be more.
Well, I think he's starting to take the king thing kind of seriously. I think we got that on.
He was taking it very seriously.
I happen to know Mark doesn't like homeless people.
Really?
Oh, yeah. How about that? How's that for a mean little factoid?
Oh,
what's that?
Really?
Does he kick them?
No, but like, so I have this rule. If a homeless person asks me for money, I won't give them money, but I'll buy them food. That's just kind of my rule.
Right.
Is I don't stick to it 100%. Well, I'll tell this story when we get back after the break.
Does Mark say get a job?
Meow.
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 Listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Meow.
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 Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Me
I want to talk about the gays. So well, I was thinking.
Dobby had a story.
Wait a minute. Let me pay the tease, huh?
Yeah. Let's finish Dobby's
story. This is a short story. This is just, and I love Mark. Okay, Mark is a great person, but you know, this is something that happened. He came to BitCon in San Jose when Bitcoin on Bombs was there, and Free Talk Live was there. So Mark and Ian and we were. I know the restaurants in the area. It's my hometown, so like we were finding Mexican food. And my rule is that I don't give money to homeless people. I will buy them food if they ask for money. And so I got this guy some food, and like Mark kind of looked askance at me like I had done something wrong. And I don't remember verbatim what he said. It was longer, but it was essentially like, "You're just encouraging them."
You are.
So what?
Do you want more homeless people?
No, but people are hungry.
Feeding people
eat,
doesn't
man.
Create homeless people, though.
You get more of what you
like. Actually, feeding
he's
them
not homeless
gets
he's
homeless people into
that,
homes.
That which you subsidize, you get more of. True.
So we're against. What about?
But it's
I'm
voluntary.
For independence. I'm for independence.
Well, it's still voluntary.
Making people, you know, giving people the freedom to fend for themselves and not
Eric
creating
tax
dependence.
So
well, then people
charity.
Have the freedom to give them money if they want to, and I think that's fine. I mean, they're just operating in a different form of market.
Like I get
it.
This is like an economically sound conclusion to come to, but I just have a real problem with being against charity.
Just no, it's not charity. It's different. In the 21st century, homeless people have made this an occupation. This is their job. They're pulling at your heartstrings in return for food.
What?
Wait a minute, Derek.
Like everyone else.
You know nothing about this individual. You are making a generalization about a class of people.
Derek's the gay Bill O'Reilly.
Because I've lived in the city. I see these people.
You've lived in San Jose.
But
no,
wait a second.
I've lived
aren't
in San Jose.
Factors.
And I've been homeless in California.
Well, so aren't there economic factors?
They make it a regular thing. You know these people by name. They do this thing year in and year out.
That's great that you know some homeless people by name, but not this guy. You're making a generalization about an individual based on his class.
And so why can't he dumpster dive like the rest of the teenagers who are all freegan?
I don't know.
It's not necessarily a choice to be homeless. Like... But, like, well, so you said, like, feeding them just encourages them, you know... Well, but if there's growing, like it encourages them to eat so they can like think so they can do stuff and get out of their situation. And this has been proven through organizations like Food Not Bombs who fed people and that allows them to have the resources to get into homes. So you were saying that there's been an increase in homelessness, but couldn't there be other factors other than just people are feeding them? I wouldn't think that the number of people feeding homeless people has gone up. I think it's more that it's economic factors that are causing. Like specifically in Florida, where in the area where I come from, you had a lot of poverty already, but then you had hurricanes, you had some natural disasters come in, and then the oil spill, and it completely devastated the economy. So we saw an increase in homeless people, not because they were begging for food, but because all the jobs dried up, because there were economic problems and all this. I mean, there were families out on the street because they lost their home in a hurricane or something like that.
So nothing is always the same thing, right? Like, I knew people who were voluntarily homeless. I would not give money to the Occupy kids who were professionally homeless and unemployed. I would not do that.
Well, you know, I think maybe we have a special, you know, Philly is kind of its unique thing. And I'm not going to generalize about everybody, but I would virtually never give money to, I call them hobos.
I don't know. I've known some hobos, and that's a pretty disparaging term. It has a specific meaning, and they don't appreciate it being misused.
Well,
it means someone who rides the rails.
Check your hobo privilege.
Well, they ride the rails in Philly. It's called SEPTA, and that's where they nod off from heroin. Okay.
So here's the thing. San Jose used to be the home of Agnew's Mental Hospital, right? And then it shut down, and there's been this like huge problem with homelessness ever since. Mentally ill people are thrown into the street.
It's a legitimate problem.
Happens.
But the problem
Ronald
is
Reagan's fault.
It makes it even worse for them because there's in Philly, the other 95% are just like scumbag scammers. You know, and it's
this guy didn't live in Philly.
If I just had $3, I could get a subway ticket. You know, like every day, the same thing he says. Come on, man. You know, and these guys, you know.
Well, I guess it works. They keep doing it.
They're giving the people in genuine need a more difficult time because you certainly see the people. You're like, man, you do deserve some sympathy, and you see those too. I would help those people, but I think I understand where Derek's coming from.
Because there are places to give. There are places where they specialize in helping people who are in actual need. They'll
Derek
have conversations
wants a middleman.
With these people. They'll make sure they're not scam artists. What's that, Mike?
Derek thinks there should be a middleman in this one-to-one exchange.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Someone to keep some accountability on this. Because you people aren't specialized enough to know the difference between a professional scammer
Derek,
and someone
I've
who's
been
actually...
Derek, I've been feeding homeless people every month for like the last 4 or 5 years.
It sounds like we might be talking about different homeless cultures.
Hang on a second. Maybe. I've been homeless. Yeah. Who here has been homeless? I've been homeless for a whole summer.
Show of hands on the radio. Who's been homeless? All right.
Talking about.
Look at all these low-life homeless people in here.
Renting doesn't count.
Exactly.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
So let me tell you about homeless shelters in San Jose. When I was in college, I used to volunteer for the soup kitchen called CHAM. It was the Christian Homeless Alliance Ministry. And it was like half church, half soup kitchen. They'd let people crash on the floor, right? And the city was constantly attacking them, like legislatively, to say, like, if you're going to serve food, it has to be this way. You're not allowed to let people sleep on your floor because it's a fire hazard, blah, blah, blah. And they kept like trying to get this place shut down for various regulatory violations or something. And when that failed, when people protested, when they like successfully held their doors open, the city was like, no, eminent domain, we're building City Hall on top of your church. And that's
Whoa.
What's there now.
Yeah. And Derek, you were mentioning earlier about the shelters who help people who, and you know, things should kind of be left to the professionals. Well, a lot of them get government funding, and a lot of them work together with government officials in city halls or, you know, county commissioners and things like that to restrict other competition, basically, for more effective models, or at least different models.
Yeah,
you know, there's
they
not
also
a one-size-fits-all model for dealing with the
problem. They also don't do any vetting. Derek makes it sound like they have some test to see if you're a scammer or, you know, legitimately homeless beyond your control. No, they help everyone that comes in the door at those places.
Yeah, but at least with a private charity, they know the clientele.
I am a private charity. When I give a burrito to a guy, I'm a private charity.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's very true.
Right.
I'm talking about a more organized charity
than just one organized person.
A more centralized project.
I'm in the central planner.
I'm
a central planner.
He's a
this
central point of failure.
System.
I guess, but what, you know, I don't know. What I'm trying to say is, like, I want to live in a world where I don't see a bunch of homeless people taking up and walking all around the streets.
Wow.
I want them contained and in one area.
Wow.
So,
okay,
so crazy and well-fed.
They did this. They did this in Sarasota, Florida.
In
Sarasota, Florida, they built a camp for homeless people
bands.
Where they could go. Well, they had no choice to go there.
Did it have a shower bus?
And yeah, it had a bus. They would bus you in, and it was owned by the sheriff ran it, and you'd get to work 40 hours a week, and you'd have a place to stay, and they had like a little box that you could go in if you you had daily drug tests, you know, because that's necessary or whatever, and then you would go in. If you failed the drug test, they would put you in a little box. It was like a 10-foot by 10-foot open air like thing with a yoga mat on it.
Homeless people love that.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, wonderful, you know. But they're trying to do the same thing in Pensacola, and it isn't a solution to homelessness so much as it's a way to hide the problem that may be growing in some areas.
You know, in France, they were requiring homeless people wear armbands for a while. Did you guys hear about this? Seriously, a couple years ago. Yeah.
No, that sounds awful. Anytime the solution involves rounding people up, I'm a little skeptical.
They had no choice in the matter, too. It was like shelter or jail was the option.
I think there's an easy way to settle this, because I kind of understand where Derek's coming from, because I've lived in Philly, and these people are... They make life hard on people. So, but I also have sympathy, and I want to help the people that are genuinely in need. So how do I know which to do? Look at what the government is doing. They don't want me to feed the homeless people. Suddenly, I know what I should be doing.
Yep.
Okay? They want it to be illegal to do that. Suddenly, that easily tips the balance in favor of, you know, just when in doubt, just do the opposite of what some politician is mandating.
This is a reminder to any agent listening that anything illegal, immoral, or fattening that is advocated on the show should be understood as satire intended to mean its opposite.
Hey, but there have been people like seditiously feeding the homeless, even where you are, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. People are still breaking the laws, like
that,
food not bombs breaks the law, you know, all the time in places where
they're
public feeding is prohibited.
Them.
Davi, to answer your question completely honestly, yeah, I'd be against that. Put the homeless people somewhere else.
Put them in a nice camp where work will set them free.
They have the penalty box that they can hide in. Go where they are at. You know, they're not in the nice parks. Go to the hood and give out food.
Yeah, I've been in San Francisco. Aren't most of these guys veterans? Aren't they all shell-shock veterans? What are the causes of homelessness? You know, like, I think that needs to be examined. I don't think it's a simplistic explanation to say, oh, there's all these homeless. I don't like the way they look. I don't want to see them. That's the argument that they use to ban camping and have all these, you know, banning homelessness ordinances pass. It's like, oh, they're an eyesore.
Doesn't
we can't allow
have
them
right
to be seen, so we
Come
should
on,
just,
Derek.
You know.
A person's got a right to stink.
I don't know how to deal with that. I mean, that's a real problem. I think it's a tragedy of the commons issue. Like, if property owners could actually own the property in front of their store, then homelessness in public wouldn't be so much an issue.
No, they would gravitate to where they were permitted.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fine. But you don't walk exclusively on your property.
Well, it's unfortunately we don't live in a world where everything is privately owned, so I can't do that right now. I've got to use public roads and sidewalks to get.
Well,
places.
There would still be thoroughfares. Like, I think it is unlikely. I think it would be is unlikely on account of it being so incredibly unpopular that whoever owned a private road would say, "No, I'm sorry, you're not dressed well enough to be on this road."
Yeah, but there are ways that it's discouraged. Like, do you ever walk past a road where it's got a red carpet out and an awning on top and a doorman standing outside? Like, those types of places, you don't see a lot of homeless walking around there. It's just discouraged because that's not the type of environment they're in. What about Diamond Row or Jewelry Row in Philadelphia? Do you see homeless walking around there? No. So,
okay.
Yeah, there are cops to prevent homeless people from going
to
certain places.
It's not the police. It's not the police presence. It's the types of stores that are out there. And
that's
the way
fine,
they treat
but
the
this
front
guy
of their
did not
property.
Accost me in a fancy hotel and ask for money. This guy, like, I was in his neighborhood. I was eating at a restaurant in his neighborhood. And it's kind of a rundown part of San Jose. And there he was. I was on his turf.
And that he took the food instead of, because I've been in situations too. I try to do the
sometimes
same thing with Dobby.
I had a full
van of food one time. Like, I was on a road trip and this guy comes up to us. He's like, you know, hey, can I have a couple dollars to go get a taco at Taco Bell? And I was like, we have all this food. I'll make you a sandwich and get you some chips and veggies and stuff.
No,
and he was like,
taco.
No, I want Taco Bell. He was
money.
Like, obviously on some, you know,
like,
you want money. So he's just like, no, we don't have money, but
I'll
tell
you
what, that's what you want.
Well, you'll probably think you'll side with the property owner on this one. There was a guy who asked me for money. I said, no, I don't have any. I have money. I'll buy you food. And we were in a grocery store. And I started walking around the grocery store with him shopping.
Yeah.
And we started getting followed by the management of this grocery store.
And the
store.
Management was like, don't do that. Don't buy him food. We don't want that happening.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree with him. If it were my store, I'd say the same thing. I don't want to encourage that type
you don't
of
want
thing.
To, you
yo bring your money into the store, not your homeless smelly people, please.
Again, how do you know this guy was smelly?
Hey, Derek, you know what?
But I'm right.
I have not seen a homeless person in like 5 years. Except if I went to Denver.
Yeah, but that's because you don't let them in your basement, Michael.
They really don't see them in this town. It's like it's too cold here, and there's not enough social services for homeless to want to be here. I mean, put it this way: I haven't seen one like where I travel and go in the city. I've never encountered one. Like, I haven't been accosted by one in 5 years.
Yeah.
So I agree. I actually agree. A grocer should have the right to say, no, no service for that guy. Don't buy him food in my store. I'm not saying that he should be forced to serve him a homeless wedding cake, right? But I like that really irks me. The idea that that you would have a standard to say, "Hey, you're a valid customer and you're not," makes me not want to shop there.
Why? I have the right to refuse any customer.
You have the
for
right to
reason.
Do a lot of things. There's a difference between aggression and like offense.
Okay, if you don't like it, don't shop at my fancy grocery.
That's what
store.
I'm saying. It makes me not want to shop there. If you like,
that's fine.
Like,
Derek sounds right. like an objection.
I'm not shopping at Derek's Dandy Grocery.
Derek sounds like Derek sounds like
homeless wedding cakes may not this, apply.
Sounds like it's been resolved.
Circle gay. So, Derek, what do you think of SCOTUS? Derek, what do you think
Who
of the Supreme
that?
Court?
It was
from the audience over here.
Hey, Derek, what do you think of the Supreme Court legalizing gay marriage?
I was so glad to hear that the Oracle of Delphi finally spoke on the issue.
Oh, God.
Oracle?
Yeah, the Oracle. Whatever. The Oracle. Yeah, I was talking about this with some of the gaynarchists who are here at Porkfest, and none of us knew or cared that this news happened.
What's the news? I have not. I don't know or care.
Yeah, the some old people in robes got up in some building somewhere and said that it's okay for gays to be married. And I'm like, okay, great. Thanks for your permission. I was really waiting for that.
You know why I care? I care because I live in Wyoming and I want to watch conservative people's heads explode.
It's old news now by this point. I mean, what's it been? Gay marriage in Massachusetts for over 10 years. The sky didn't fall.
No, it's every state now.
Have it now.
Yeah, this is them jumping in front of the parade.
Now forward to multiple partner marriage.
Here we go. Marrying dogs next.
No, I'm not being facetious, Derek. Like, I really, like, people act like that's a big scare tactic that, like, if you allow gay marriage, then it's going to be, like, multiple partner marriage. I think they should allow multiple partner marriage.
That used to be the norm.
Yeah, right. I'll remind you. It is the traditional marriage in that book of Leviticus they're all upset about.
But wives got really expensive. And
yeah, that's true. It's the wedding industrial complex.
I want multi-dimensional marriage.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. If you can marry someone from any period in history interdimensionally, I guess that's not how dimensions work.
Alexander the Great.
Yeah, because time is a dimension, Davi.
Christian.
Time is the fourth dimension.
Time is the fourth dimension. Wow, that's a weird question.
Would it be cheating?
Man, I don't even know if she was real, but I remember being really like infatuated with Lilith when I was a kid.
Who's that?
Adam's second wife.
Oh yeah, no,
or first wife.
First wife. Yeah,
The one who was equal to him and then banished because she wasn't subordinate.
Like, this happened. This is in the beginning.
This is not in the Bible, but it's like an apocryphal kind of Jewish thing,
right.
And there's like all this mythology around her. And so the idea was that they were created as co-equals, and then when she wouldn't lay under him and insisted she had an equal right to lay over him, like he's out of here, gone. Yeah. God, give me one who's built from my ribs, so she's good and subordinate. And Lilith was like cast out into the wilderness before Cain, and is the mother of demons or something like that. But I'm always like, why? Where's she? Like, why isn't that the one that won, you know?
Lily.
A lot of strippers use that as a name.
Don't hate on my girl like that.
It's a common stripper name.
What's that, Michael?
Lilith is a common stripper name.
Yeah.
It is. Really? It's also a festival.
Oh, yeah.
And a flavor of
they
incense.
They still have that, the Lilith?
I have no idea. Turns out that wasn't the type of people that went there.
The mono Lilith.
All feminine products.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome.
Longer leashes recommended.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends. Marriage without borders. Gay marriage. On the agenda. That's all I know.
Yeah.
I guess there's not really much to say.
I don't plan to get state married. Like, yeah. when I get married, it's going to be a stateless marriage at Porkfest.
Nice.
That's what I want.
So, yeah.
I heard, now, since I really didn't follow it, but I heard this may have implications for things like gun permits across state lines. Like, if your marriage permit now extends across state lines.
Oh, it has all kinds of implications.
Maybe your gun permit does. Maybe your medical marijuana card does. I don't. Is there anything, any truth to that?
I kind of wonder about spousal privilege. Like, you can't be compelled to testify against your spouse. But what if you're like, you're in the wrong state? What if they committed a crime across state lines and it's ambiguous? No, I don't care.
I'm going to have my marriage endorsed by a BIPCOT no-gov license.
There you go.
It's
a BIPCOT marriage license.
Yeah.
You can be married to anyone except government.
Yeah, there's actually a member of the audience who right now is licensed by BIPCOT no-gov.
Nice.
We BIPCOT
the anonymous crew.
Nice.
He's being used by anyone as long as it's not the government.
Yeah. So on the break, we kind of discussed people marrying, for example, their friends. So if they want to immigrate to the country, it's easier for them to do that because they're married to someone. And I think that's a great thing, you know, if the state's going to be involved in marriage or whatever. I mean, yeah, why not bend the rules? Why not do something like that? And it's so weird that conservatives don't ever use that as a criticism of gay marriage. Like, gay marriage is this terrible thing. But people marrying for convenience to try to, like, get around other laws is like,
well, they do criticize that, don't they? Or does that get the, like, legal stamp until they're
But they use the whole slippery slope argument with gay marriage.
Slippery slope, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it could just encourage them to enter the country legally, and I don't support legal immigration.
Right. So. there's this whole language fight about the word illegal, right? Like conservatives refer to undocumented immigrants as illegals, and the progressives get upset about that. I really think illegals needs like a reclaiming, like witch or queer. Like, I really think that like people should be proud of being illegal.
Yeah.
You know, I am.
Yeah.
I'm an illegal merchant.
Right.
You know,
like. Take it back.
We need something that rhymes with illegal, though. It can't be we're here, we're queer,
we're illegal, we're...
Illegal
beagle.
Yeah, I don't know. Unlawful, maybe, has a better rhyme. No, it has to be illegal.
Yeah.
Regal kind of.
We're regal.
Oh, regal. Regal. There you go.
And illegal.
Right here.
We're regal.
You know,
we're beagles.
We're illegal.
Get used to it.
Illegal. We need to have an illegal pride parade. Everyone come out with their floats of the crimes they're most proud of.
Right. Illegal pride parade.
No permits. No, it's no an permits. Illegal parade for an illegal pride parade.
It'd have to be like
a flash mob.
All the pot farmers, like,
yeah,
decorating their floats in pot leaves.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right. Illegal pride parade.
Did you bring any FBI agents with you, Angela? I was afraid that they were going to be following you.
Me specifically? God, I hope not.
Yes, you specifically.
Yeah,
I saw some guy talking into an earpiece when you came in, so.
Yeah, that's still a happening thing for antiwar.com. That case is still ongoing, so we're still, the ACLU is still pushing it along, and the FBI is still keeping track. So everything's still the same.
Is that what that drone is over there?
nothing changes on that front. We're just still being,
Are the FBI agents learning anything with all their reading of antiwar.com?
Clearly not, since there's a problem with Yemen.
Well, it could be the situation where they They read antiwar.com for a month on duty, then they quit, get honest work, and then they get replaced by the next group.
Oh, that's a beautiful story from some place that never exists at no time ever. Thanks for asking about the case. It's
your
always
interdimensional
good to people care
news
that,
channel.
That you know, the FBI got a good hold on us. Nice spying. I didn't realize this hand signals don't work so well over the radio. I got to change doing here.
I think it's nice to be recognized, and I think that to be recognized by the FBI is quite an accomplishment.
Thank you.
Right on. We actually think we determined that the insect that caused the little blackout we had the other night was most likely a drone.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm rooming with Angela, so it must have been a...
Right.
Well, it's been a great show, guys. Porkfest is more than half over.
Worms!
So if you've done anything illegal, take pride.
Yeah. Well, especially if it didn't harm anyone else.
Especially if it didn't harm anyone else.
Even if it did.
And if you haven't, it's time to practice some similitude.
And start a website.